Alex Golish just taking up a second residence down in Mobile. He is owning Mobile, such a critical area of the state. We're going to talk about it a little bit today. He's Zach. I'm Brad. It's a brand new Village Vice. Another commitment expected, possibly for Auburn later today. And who's the best number 80? Because we're 80 days away from kickoff. You see how we do that. Best number 80 to play at Auburn in recent memory. But first, Mobile Hall of Fame, Mobile Sports Hall of Fame ceremonies and like a big preseason kickoff month before Media Days thing held last night. And Alex Golish spoke for about 10 minutes. And I thought he had some interesting things to say while he was there. Can we go through some of those?
Yes.
All right.
I insist.
Okay. Do you think is it worth talking about this quote? They're not trying to rebuild a brand at Auburn. They're simply trying to rebuild an identity. The brand is strong. The identity needs a rebuild.
You ask if I agree with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or what do you make of it?
The brand was strong when we've been losing. I mean, you look at what the fan base support has been. You look at what the donor base has been. You look at everything about Auburn football. Mm-hmm. Outside of producing wins and losses, it's been elite at the top of the conference. It's just been on the field production. And so that's the brand. That's what we know and associated with. And so you gotta get better on the field. So I agree with that.
All right. Yeah, I think me too. And I don't know that we need to say any more on that. He was asked about Deshaun Spencer. So with all of the transfers and a couple of returners coming back, Deshaun Spencer is going to play this fall. He may play
makes
a lot.
Sense. He's in Mobile. That makes sense why he was asked that.
Right.
Yep.
But so in replying to a question about Deshaun, he said, look, the kid wanted to be at Auburn. And he mentioned it a couple of different times, a couple of different ways, how it was really critical to want to be there. Former running back, moved to slot receiver. And he said, quote, we're going to have to get the ball in his hands. He said that Deshaun's best practice was the A-Day game with people around, and that was noticeable. It was the fifth time that he could be tackled in a practice, and it was the day he was the hardest to tackle. So when the lights are on and you're in front of people, that's when he really stepped things up. So I think if there was any question before, there's not any question. Deshaun Spencer is going to see the field, and he's going to see the ball.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the backup slot. The battle between him, Christian Neptune, and Bryce Kane, I think, is interesting. I don't know how important it is, but it is interesting because I really have faith in all three of those guys for different reasons. I do wonder how many opportunities we could see with both those guys or two of those four guys on the field at the same time. If they go four wide and take a tight end off, I don't know. They're capable of it. I don't know if they're going to do it, but an interesting thing about Spencer and why I think that quote is maybe important is, Deshaun Spencer, if I recall correctly, is a guy that they recruited at South Florida. And I think he liked the staff. It's just South Florida. And so then as soon as he got to Auburn, that became much more realistic. So I think that makes sense. I think it makes sense a ton. Then obviously with, Auburn losing several wide receivers in the portal, Deshaun Spencer, it was a no-brainer. And it sounds like he had a great spring.
Absolutely. All right, another one. And I thought this was the most interesting question. He was asked a question that was framed in a way that just assumed. Like the quote was in the question, you've got to tear up the playbook when it comes to recruiting. It just assumed that you have to limit your high school recruiting because you're going to get in the portal. You got to get so many guys in the portal, which I thought number one was odd because of the recent tear this staff has been on in getting upper echelon prospects to commit. But also it gave him an opportunity to kind of reiterate their plan. And again, if there was any confusion, there's not now. It's not portal first. It's recruiting and developing high school players and hoping that by the time they're in year two and three in your program, you win more games with players who are in year two and year three of your program than you do guys who you pluck from somewhere else who may have played for 2 or 3 years, but it's their first year in your program.
And yeah.
He went on to make the point, especially like, because they're in one of the most talent-rich areas of the country. Why wouldn't you invest in the homegrown talent? And you're seeing that in the guys they're targeting and that they're getting commitments from, with the exception of Maryland.
With the exception of Maryland. Yeah. I mean, less homegrown of a group than what we're typically seeing. And I do think you're going to see that change across the country where guys from certain states with NIL laws are going to become more appealing than states without NIL laws for high schoolers. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be something that's super interesting to follow. I think there's some creative stuff now that you can do legally that's more binding than just a verbal commitment and a social media post.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing the staff lean into that to some extent. But yeah, as far as high school portal, you know, high school recruiting or getting guys in the portal, like especially early on, you got to do both.
Yeah.
You can recruit these elite offensive linemen, but they're probably not going to play as freshmen. And so you look at the roster now and it's like, you feel good about Zierer next year. You know, mm-hmm. Do you bring Stanton Ramil back? But you're still probably going to need a tackle in the portal. Quarterback's going to be an incredibly fascinating conversation. Like, you're still going to need pieces through the portal. And that's never going to change, ever. Like, you're always going to have to get, you know, something because either somebody leaves or somebody doesn't pan out. But they've made it clear with this staff in this class that, yeah, I mean, getting an elite class together is a priority.
And the question, to be clear, the question or the conversation has never been like five high school, everybody else portal, or two portal and everybody else high school. That's never been the issue. The portal's always going to be a ready-made gap filler. It's just going to be less of that, ideally, for this state. It's not where their focus is. Like Lane, we said yesterday, LSU and Ole Miss ain't going to finish in the top 10 in high school recruiting classes over the next however long that Golding and Kiffin are at those two places. They're not, because they're going to focus heavy on recruiting. That's their plan. Some coaches have a fast-paced offensive scheme or an aggressive defensive scheme. Well, you scheme now your roster building, and this staff has just made it very clear they're going to do it majority high school. That's plan A anyway. So,
and look, that's what the previous staff did. And we all agree that talent wasn't the issue there.
Right.
I mean, last year's Auburn team was an incredible roster. Just didn't win. There were some questions at a few positions for sure. And this staff is making sure, you know, specifically offensive line, that's taken care of in the future. But there's more than one way to build a competitive roster. We've seen Auburn build a competitive roster, but you know, they didn't have competitive scheme and coaching. And I think that's changing.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm going to make a certain segment of our audience mad by simply stating the truth after we tell everybody about Precision Tune Auto Care.
Yes. Of Opelika. Beat the heat, baby.
If you haven't gone in yet and visited Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika and just said loudly and authoritatively, beat the heat, what are you doing? You're risking losing to the heat. I know it's rainy and comfortable right now, but it's going to get hot again. Go and get that free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis. And then if your car does need any repair work, you're going to get $50 off any AC repair over $300. They are on Pepperell Parkway in Opelika. Check them out. Give them a call. Go see them. They're open at 7 o'clock now in the morning. So you go in, get it knocked out, and get to work on time. Our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. They have other locations across Alabama too. So go check them out everywhere. Tell them the Barn sent you. Tell them you listen to or watch Village Vice on the Barn when you go.
Woo!
So for the Alabama people that watch our show religiously.
I'm going to guess you were impressed with Kalen DeBoer yesterday.
So Golish spoke for nearly twice as long as the Alabama football coach. He's at least twice as interesting as the Alabama football coach. And I understand I'm biased, but man, go listen to the two of those guys behind a microphone And then imagine what they're like in the living room of a recruit. High school or portal, I don't care. The 6.5 minutes that the Alabama coach spoke. Do you ever get on like a corporate call? You may not in your current, right? I don't know if you have. How many people watching your list? You ever get on a corporate call and then and you get a boss who just, yeah. That's what it was like for 6.5 minutes. These guys love playing together. They play for each other. They, you know, doohickey. They're having a great time. And the last question he was asked was about, like, still, we're going into his third year. And it was like how he's fitting in at Alabama. And his last answer was like, you know, the thing that's really still surprising is outside the state, people care so much. Like everybody, this is an exact quote. Everywhere you go, they're a fan of the Crimson.
They're not. Like, everyone hates Alabama. It's been the whole thing. And it's been because they've won a lot. I want to be clear. Like, it happens sure. In any sport. Like, it's because they won so much under Nick. But to act like people, the average person that follows college football in another fan base, they don't like Alabama. Are you kidding me?
And I get what he's doing. He, you know, the people who are coming up to him and are big fans, they have fans all over the place. Sure they do. But, like, you stumbled on that? Did you not feel confident saying the Crimson Tide? It was a little cringy, if I'm honest. A little cringy to watch.
Dude, I gotta tell you, man, I feel like the perception of him has absolutely shifted. So I doubted the hire to some extent when they got it. And then I remember I followed him around at the first media day. So I guess I was the one in Dallas. Because that was the story. It's like, all right, what all is he going to say? And I remember, you know, there's the main room. And then I went over and followed him to the digital room, which is dumb that they do that now. But that's what it used to be.
Did that used to be called the radio room or something else? There used to be a radio room.
It used to be like digital media.
Okay.
I think it's still called that.
Yeah.
But it's like a smaller room where you're like more likely to get a question if you cover a team or whatever.
Analog room too. What are we? Everything is digital now. What are we doing?
Right. That's why it's dumb. It's like, what do you mean? But I remember like he had an aura about him. I'm like, oh, okay. Like this guy's got it. And of course, there was a massive. Like a lot of people were doing the same thing, right? I mean, it was the story of that. So, and I remember thinking like, oh, okay, this guy's like, he's meeting that level of expectation as far as like how he carries himself and all that. And now that doesn't seem to be happening. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was interesting to watch. And I just, the more I see him in those spots, the more you go, man, he stepped into a great situation and still has a lot of talent. And that's whatever, though. There'll be another time and place to discuss that more. But I just thought the comparison of the two, and again, I'm biased, and I'm making no claims otherwise, but like watch them both together and imagine them both in a recruiting room. I don't know. All right. Number 80. 80 days away from kickoff, Zach. Do you know who wears number 80 currently on the roster?
Do I?
Been there a while. In fact, I think this is going to be, this will be his senior year. You don't know him. Upton.
Oh, okay.
Will Upton wears 80. He's appeared in one game as a backup holder. That was against Alabama A&M 2 years ago. He has made the SEC academic honor roll all 3 years that he's been here.
Love it.
There you go.
Good for him. That's awesome. I would say the only 80 that I can't shake another mental image other than Marcus Davis.
Yeah.
That's the only one stuck in my noggin right now.
Well, the others were going to shake free, and you might kick yourself a little bit because there are some really recognizable ones. Marcus wore it from 13 to 16. He had 83 catches for 650 yards, 3 touchdowns. I thought it was more than that. I was surprised that it was only 3 touchdowns.
Did Melvin Ray wear 80? He might have been 82.
Because Marcus wore it 13 to 16.
Yeah.
Right. Unless he changed numbers. I know he wore it in 13. Let me give you some other notable number 80s.
Okay.
Tight end Jesse McCovery wore it from 93 to 96. The old school Auburn fans will remember Jesse McCovery. He only had 9 catches for 99 yards, but 3 of them were touchdowns.
Okay.
Kind of the beginning of the Bowden era offenses. Marcel Willis wore it from 99 to 02, 81 catches, 1,022 yards, 2 touchdowns. Sal Cannella wore it for 3 years.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. How about Big Sal? 17 to 19, 25 catches, 330 yards, 5 touchdowns. But the most productive number 80 ever at Auburn was Emery Blake.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one where you go, oh, yeah, no, I should have known that.
Yeah.
From 09 to 2012, 128 catches, 2,022 yards, and 16 touchdowns. He's a touchdown machine.
Yeah. Emery Blake was a player for sure.
Played as for a sure. freshman.
Yeah, 80. Oh. I think 80 is one of the worst receiver numbers. I don't think it looks good on a jersey.
Yeah. Well, what are the best receiver numbers? 81 is a good receiver.
81 number. And 83 are the best receiver numbers.
Yeah. Okay.
In the 80s. And then I like a lot of the teens. I think 11 is a great number.
Yeah.
13, I feel like, is a good number.
Those are quarterback numbers.
No, there are receivers that wear those.
No, we did this last year where I don't even remember what it was now. But do you remember last summer coming up with the idea?
I remember doing this before. Yeah, you wanted. That was the worst. That was one of the worst takes you ever had.
No, I had support on that. Doggone it. 89 is not a bad receiver number. 86 is a good receiver number. 87 is a tight end number. I don't want a receiver. I don't want a receiver at 87.
Correct.
I'd like 84 to be a tight end number.
84 can be either, I think.
Okay. All right. I don't mind tight end numbers in the 40s.
I mean, I'm just thinking of like the most iconic 84. I think I picture Deion Branch.
Okay. Shannon Sharp was 84. Randy Moss was 84. Randy Moss.
Yeah, I think Randy is a Patriot. He was 81 with New England.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look up other 84s across football, but those are some pretty good receivers at 84. Anyway, we don't have to turn the rest of the show into number talk, but the best 80. We may not do this for every number along the way because we're about to get into just offensive lineman territory for the next 3 weeks.
I have no issue with that. No issue with that at all. We can talk O-line all day.
We could do that. We could start doing that, and everybody can just pitch us their best number for the next day, the best player to wear that number.
Yeah, that's fun. All right, so who's your favorite and best 79 of all time? Let us know in the comments.
We'll get into that throughout the day tomorrow.
Cool. So, all right.
Today's show.
No show?
In just a minute, let's tell people about AU Shirts first, because today's show is presented by AU Shirts.
AUShirts.com. People ask where we get the Boog hats. That's at AUShirts.com. Also, the Boog shirts, as well as some of the show's inside jokes are there as well. And it's not just shirts, it's hats, it's coffee mugs, it's everything. So head over to AUShirts.com. It directly supports this channel, supports us. And if you get his name is Fred Gaskin shirt, that money goes to Fred as well. So, AUShirts.com. Check it out.
Awesome. Yep. And become a member, and you can join us for the post show after this, plus film breakdowns on the latest recruiting commitments, plus the Afternoon Delight show every weekday.
Right.
You can get that as well. And then 4 Village Vice post shows a week, as we mentioned. So check that out. There are different memberships available. If you're already a subscriber on the YouTube channel, then that becomes a join. And there you see your membership options there. So would you check that out?
Yes. Great.
Yep.
We'll see you in the post show. I think that does it for today's show, Bradlaugh.
Thanks, everybody, for being a part of it. Please remember, till next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.